Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. This is that time of the year when everyone's doing their last minute Christmas shopping. It's not so much last minute, but Christmas is right around the corner. Last minute would be the day of, but people are still in a hurry. They're hustling around from store to store or online store to online store trying to find those things. What are we trying to satisfy? Part of it is that we do genuinely want to provide for our families, and we want to show them our affection for them, our love for them, and our concern for them by giving them gifts at this time of Christ's birth. Part of it also, if we're honest with ourselves, is driven by what we can only call a deep sense of discontent, dissatisfaction, maybe even leading up to disappointment. So how do we teach both ourselves and our children contentment during a season of the year when discontentment is so much more than the contentment we feel, when contentment seems like, well, we can't afford it this year? Holly Shear joins us to talk about teaching our children contentment during the Christmas season. She's a married mother of four in Burns, Wyoming, and she's author of an article for The Federalist titled, "Christmas is the Perfect Time to Teach Your Kids About Contentment." Holly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about discontent and contentment, but you say that it often begins with comparison. What are you talking about there?
Sure. What I mean by that is when you compare what you have to what someone else has, you're always going to notice that someone else has more or you have more, and at the root of that, you're going to come and be very unhappy sometimes, or someone else is going to be unhappy.
Is this exclusively a kid problem? You start out talking about, you know, how kids will kind of do the tally on the playground after coming back from Christmas break about how their Christmases went, how lavish they were. Is it only a problem for our kids?
You know, I think this is just as big of a problem for adults as it is for children. We compare, you know, houses, we compare cars, we compare jobs and promotions at our jobs with people in the same field. We compare vacations and retirement plans. Comparison really is something that is a huge problem for adults as well.
How has social media, how has it exacerbated the problem around Christmas time for our families?
Social media makes our world so much bigger, and that can be a really good thing, and it can also be a terrible thing. You're not just comparing yourself with your local family and friends, you can compare with people all across the world in very, very different circumstances.
I kind of, when I see someone posting their Christmas trip to Hawaii or the tree with a million presents under it, I kind of hate them. Is that what you're talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Social media allows us to put forward the very best moments of our life and share them with everybody with no context. And it makes it really, really easy to feel jealous and resentful.
So what are we talking about when we talk about discontent with our kids at Christmas time?
I think what we are talking about with our kids' discontentment in Christmas time is that, you know, kids can make a list a mile long of things they want, and it can be very, very selfish, and it can be, you know, very unrealistic. You can have your child asking for, you know, a unicorn and a brand new iPad and things that you might not be able to get as a family. Well, I would assume no families are getting unicorns.
So what are we to teach our kids first about inevitable disappointment? How do we teach our kids to endure it?
I think we need to teach them when disappointments are small and something they can come to us for help with, that disappointment is unfortunately a part of life. And it is not something we're going to be able to avoid, no matter how carefully we order our lives. And so we need to focus on what we have and what God has given us and not being jealous of others.
You tell a story about planning a party for one of your kids when money was tight in the family. What's the story?
When my husband was on vicarage, he was still a student and money was really tight. And, you know, my oldest was in preschool at the time. And there was a really big difference between the types of things we could do for birthdays and the types of things that families, you know, with two incomes and their lives kind of more together could do. And it was really hard to compare, you know, the type of gifts you can buy on a budget like that for friends and for your own child and the type of party you can put together.
So what do you do?
I think we need to stop and we need to realize that we are all incredibly blessed. And sometimes that sounds like a cop-out, but it's really not. And talk to our kids and then have, you know, some self-talk at the end that you're not always going to have the biggest, you're not always going to have the best, and it really is okay. We should be happy for what we have, but that it's also okay to work to try to have other things.
That's a pretty fine line to walk with our kids. I mean, it's difficult to strike that balance, isn't it?
It is very difficult, and it's unfortunately something that is not a one and done. You're not going to have this conversation once and be like, you know, hey, your shoes are from the thrift store. Don't be jealous of someone else's where the lights still work or, you know, whatever age your child is at. It's not going to be something where you explain it once and everybody's always happy for the rest of their lives.
You do have to teach it over and over again with every kid as well, don't you?
You absolutely do. And different kids are going to take it in easier or more, a little bit harder than others, too.
See, here's my theory about it. I think we never outgrow that childish impulse to want something we don't have, especially when we see that someone else has it. That's exactly what the last two commandments deal with, coveting something that our neighbor has that we either don't have or we think less of. We just get better at covering it up as adults. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's one of the reasons where, you know, there's so much written in the catechism about coveting.
How would you explain it to a kid, coveting?
You know, coveting can be kind of hard to explain because there's looking at something you don't have. You know, you walk through the toy aisle at a store, there's looking at a toy you don't have and wanting it. And is that always wrong? And then there's looking at something someone else has and that was never meant to be yours and desiring it and desiring to have it at their expense.
So one is simply a desire, which may or may not be sinful. The other one is a desire that is most definitely sinful.
I think that's how I usually try to explain it to my children, yeah. But it is a really hard distinction to make.
Is contentment not wanting anything?
No, I don't think so. And I think as sinful people, we're never going to get to the point where there's nothing we want for. I think contentment is seeking first to look at what you do have and being okay with it, and then trying to set goals that are actually obtainable.
Is it also about how we mistakenly assign value to ourselves, to our lives, our self-worth, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it's really tricky sometimes to fall into the trap of feeling like your value is the clothing you wear, the job you hold, the house you've been able to buy, or, you know, the apartment you can rent, instead of realizing that our value is in what Christ has done for us and how God sees us in Christ.
So what are some practical ways that parents can teach their children about contentment during this season when contentment is in such short supply?
I think it's going to really depend on the age and stage of your child and their individual personality. Some children readily seem to accept this idea, and some children, you know, benefit from comparison kind of the opposite way, talking about families that have so much less and how we can help them, and that helps them frame kind of their own lives a little bit better. I think other kids just need to keep hearing that you're never going to have everything you want, and that's okay, and God loves you anyway, and mom and dad love you anyway.
Should we warn them, do something like warn them about how, something as simple and mundane as how advertising works, how the goal here, while it's well-intentioned, you know, to make money for people, to keep people working, the goal here of advertising is to make you think you need something that you may not need at all to create the desire for those things, to teach our kids what's being done to manipulate them in all of that.
Oh, absolutely. The whole driving force between, you know, commercial advertisement on media is to make you feel less than and to create a void that you can fill with this product. You know, people go to school, they have whole careers based around, and it's not, you know, always bad to work in advertising. I don't want to say that. But it is the whole premise that, you know, you have to create a need that you can fill with a product. Otherwise, nothing would ever sell. I think it's absolutely important to make our children aware of this, and that's something actually I really enjoy having my big children discuss with my little children. They sit there and they see, you know, a commercial on TV, and it's so attractive when you're 4 years old to see, you know, a new car toy. And then my big kids will be like, oh, but it's on TV. It's not going to really work that well. You don't really need that.
So they're teaching the lessons too.
They are, and it's really, I think it really helps reinforce for them. Because, you know, they're a little bit past the point of just seeing, you know, the car toy example. They're past the point of seeing that and feeling so attracted to it. And I think it helps them with something they may be more interested in. Look at some of the cons and pros for it.
Finally, then, what is the source of genuine contentment for the Christian parent who genuinely wants to give their kids more but may not be able to, for the Christian child who wants more and maybe shouldn't? What's the source of genuine Christian contentment?
Genuine Christian contentment is only found in faith. It is only found in what God has done for us and, you know, Jesus' sacrifice. It is found in law and gospel and going to church and being richly blessed by all of God's gifts there. Contentment is not something we can find on our own. It is something that, you know, we should pray for Christ to help us with.
Holly Shear is a married mother of four children in Burns, Wyoming, and she's authored an article for The Federalist titled Christmas is the Perfect Time to Teach Your Kids About Contentment. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Holly, thanks again for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time going through the Issues Etc. comment line, responding to your comments. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. 10 more minutes and your comments right after this.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, Sacred Music for the Christmas Season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the Christmas Season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.